appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity to be back, and it's kind of a homecoming. Always love to come back to Calvary Baptist Church. A lot of new faces and some old familiar faces, and so just real thankful to be back here. I'm going to apologize up front. I don't know what I have, something I've had for a month or over a month with my throat that if I rear back and sing, I get choked up and start coughing, and even if I'm preaching, if I kind of throttle it up a little bit, my voice goes out, and sometimes I get choked. And you think I'm going to die, but you wouldn't be that lucky. I'm just going to keep. It'll take me a pause and reset for a minute. It's kind of like this circle, and then all of a sudden, right back at it. And so, if I hear you start clearing your throat, you'll know I might need to clear mine, I guess. And so I apologize for that. I should go to the doctor. I have several of our church family will come up to me and say, "Pastor, you ever thought about going to the doctor?" And of course, as a man, I've thought about it, but I would never act upon it. That's never, it's just not part of it. So I'm not going to do that. But eventually it'll go away, or I'll go home to be with the Lord. Amen. So either way, it'll work out for my good. Well, I want to say thank you for the invitation to come to preach from Brother Teeter and Pastor Merrick and Calvary Baptist Church and Faith Baptist Church. And what an important meeting this is to help people that struggle with the things of life, whether it's loneliness or loss or infertility, and really you could say discouragement, depression, just the issues of life. And Job said it right, that a man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And if we live this in this earth very long, we're going to know some difficulties and some trials in life. And so my aim tonight with the message is to try to give us a principle tonight to deal with our expectations with God. And I think it'll be helpful as I've pastored and been a parent, what I would like to do is not get people dependent upon me. As a pastor, I don't want you to have to come and ask me every little question or every little detail. What am I supposed to do here, preacher? What should I do? I'd rather preach and teach the Word of God where you know the principles of the Word of God, and you know, go to the Word of God and go to God, and He'll help you know what to do. Same way with raising kids. I don't want them to be dependent upon me, and I want them to go out in the world, but arm them with some principles and some precepts so that they'll know this is what God's Word says, and this is how I'm supposed to behave, and this is what I'm going to do. We know the theme tonight of the conference is that where does our help come from? And I think this group here, it's a literate group of the Bible. In Psalm 121, it talks about, in verse number 1, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord." And he says there, "which made the heaven and earth." So we know that tonight. We know that God is the answer. We know Christ is the answer. But I want to really kind of talk a little bit more about some principles in that, that whenever we go through troubles, we just don't say, "Well, God's in control," or I'm trusting God, and that's the right answer. I'm trusting God. But we want to manage our expectations with God and know what the expectation should be as we pray and go through these difficult troubles. And so if you turn your Bibles to John chapter number 11, we're going to look at these first six verses tonight. You can be stand here tonight. We do that at our church too, so in good company. John chapter 11 is the story about Lazarus and how he dies, and Jesus comes to raise him up. And we're not going to look at the whole chapter. We're just going to look at the first six verses. I think there's enough truth there for our time for us to kind of just slow down and really dissect and learn some principles here in these first six verses. If you and I are going to make it spiritually, we need to know this principle. And we're going to kind of talk a main principle from this passage of Scripture. There'll be two or three different things that we're going to lay on top of each other, but it'll have one main principle that we're going to look at here in John chapter 11. Look in verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Father, we love you. We thank you for the precious Word of God. We ask your blessings on it. Pray that you strengthen my voice to preach tonight. God, give us this principle of governing our expectations with you. And I thank you that you've taught me this, and many others that have went through trials and difficulties, tragedy, loss, loneliness, infertility. Lord, I pray that maybe this would just be a gentle reminder to many of us tonight, or maybe something new that we would lay hold on and put in our life that we could practice and be faithful until you come. I ask your blessings on the preaching. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the Word of God this evening. Here in verse 1, and we're soon going to get right to work, we see that the text opens up with identifying three characters in our story, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it begins to lay out not only Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but I find the order, it's interesting, that when it says there was a certain man sick named Lazarus of Bethany in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, those who know their Bible, just kind of Jewish culture, is Martha is the older sister, and normally the oldest gets listed first. We could go to Luke's Gospel in chapter 10, see that in the story about going into Mary and Martha's house. It lists Martha first, then Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it was by culture that the eldest would be have the reverence, respect, and be listed here. But I don't think it's by accident tonight in John chapter 11, the very first opening verses, it lists Lazarus, who is the main character here that's sick unto death, nigh unto death, and then Mary and then Martha. Now, in verse 2, it kind of describes what Mary. In Bible times, there's a lot of Marys, and certainly Mary, mother of Jesus. Here, Mary, the one who anointed the Lord's feet with that precious ointment and began to wipe his feet with her hair and worshiped the Lord. And so, and then Martha, the sister, we know Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 10, and bringing them into the house. And so we're familiar with these characters, but in the front opening of this passage is this, I believe, a key that lays on the front door to help us understand this principle that Jesus is going to teach in this passage that John records for us this evening. And that is that in the order of Mary and Martha, that God doesn't always do things the way we think they're supposed to be done. In church life, you know, sometimes you serve God for 5, 10, 15, 20 years at the same church, and praise God for that and the faithfulness, and maybe God's used you for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden God begins to work and He raises someone up, and God chooses to use that person maybe over you, and you're thinking, wait a minute, now I've been here at the church longer than anybody else, I've got seniority here, and you know, if there's going to be a class that gets taught, or if there's going to be this opening or opportunity, then, you know, it should come to me first, and then if I don't want it, then go somewhere else. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't order the hierarchy off the way man thinks at times. God chooses to use people, and sometimes the most unlikely people. And God does that because He knows best. He's good. He understands things. And so in this story, we see Mary and Martha, and Mary's listed first, and it's talking about this Mary and Martha. And notice what it says there in verse 2, that it's the Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And so this is not a couple of people in the Bible that are casual followers of Jesus. These are devoted servants of Jesus. These are ones that have had Jesus into their home. They're close to Jesus. They love Jesus. And Jesus loves them. And so we see that she has worshipped the Lord. And we know in Luke's gospel, again, she sat at His feet. Martha covered about with much serving, but Martha loved Him as well. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they were very devoted, very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I think that's important for us to tuck away in understanding the story, that what we're going to learn about, the way God works, is not independent of our devotion towards Him. And so just because we serve God, just because we love God, just because we're very devoted to God, doesn't mean that tragedy might not show up at our doorstep. And so here's some people that love God, they've served God, they've opened their home to Jesus, and yet these are the very ones that they're going to have some tragedy come. It says in verse number 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And so again, not nominal, casual type followers. Not only are they passionate, not only does Mary worship the Lord, but when there's a problem that comes, they know where to go. They said, you know what? Let's get the word to Jesus. That Jesus loves Lazarus. And matter of fact, when they send the message, they don't say his name. They just said, Lord, thou lovest. They don't say Lazarus. He'll know who that is. He loves Lazarus. and Lazarus. And so they said, behold. That word behold means get his attention. Help him understand the situation. Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, this isn't a sickness like sometimes people eat some chicken and they say home sick from church. Get a bad hot dog or something like that. Man, I'm sick. I'm tore up. This is a sickness unto death. Lazarus is not going to make it. Mary and Martha are aware of that. They're sitting at his bedside watching their brother getting ready to die. Now, let's be real. This isn't a makeup story. This is three people that love Jesus and two sisters to a brother that love their brother very much. And they're begging Jesus to come. If we can get word to Jesus, he'll make it right. And in my mind, they're probably telling Lazarus, just hold on. We've got the message to go into Jesus. He's not far. He's a couple of days away. Just hold on, Lazarus. When Jesus hears that you're sick, he'll be here. And when he comes, he'll make everything right. Just hold on, Lazarus. They are passionate. They are going to the right source. They are sending word to Jesus to let him know. And can I submit to you tonight that message in verse number 3, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick, is not just for Jesus' information. They weren't just saying, hey, we don't know if you're aware of this, but Lazarus is sick. They sent that message with an expectation that if I get this message to Jesus, he will come. He's going to show up. He's going to be there. And so there's an expectation in this message. Just like we would maybe with a sick loved one begging God and praying over them and fasting and weeping and saying, God, please heal them. Maybe in the issue of infertility, asking God, fasting and praying, say, God, we'd love to have children. Please meet this need. And we're seeking and looking unto God. Maybe we're in distress or trouble or difficulty, maybe a loss of a child. And we're asking God to raise the child up. The child is sick unto death. And so there's an expectation in this prayer and this reaching out. Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And oftentimes when we go to God and we have these expectations to God, we expect him to answer. Now, I want you to notice this next in verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. And then notice what John includes, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so let's just take a time out here. When I read that verse, this is who Jesus loved, I'm thinking, who doesn't Jesus love? Jesus loves everybody. You're not going to find anybody that Jesus does not love. You're not going to find anybody that God does not love. Now, sometimes we have to be told, love your neighbor. God, we never have to tell God that. He loves us. He loves us in the fact that he commended, he showed, he proved his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So there's never a question, does God care? Does God love? God is love. But in this text it says, whom Jesus loved. And matter of fact, it's recognized twice. Mary and Martha knew it. And the text records that he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So that word lovest means that Jesus had a relationship with these three that he was fond of. He was close to. He had a special relationship with them. And if this was in a church setting, we might think, well, Jesus kind of cliquish. Now, I'm against cliques in church. I preach against it. There's no visitor that should ever come into Calvary Baptist Church, Faith Baptist Church, Bible Baptist Church that cannot find a friend. It's never, you know, well, it's just us four and no more. And, you know, we don't welcome anybody else in. We want to love people. God loves people. But there is special relationships that God gives us in our Christian life that knits our hearts together. And praise God for that. Praise God that there's just some people that you click with. You love them. And usually that happens this way. There's an investment from one person into the other. Don't ever come to church and plop down and say, God, I need a special friend. And I'm waiting for it to happen. You're going to wait a long time. You sit there with your arms crossed and you don't invest in anybody. The Bible tells us He that hath friends must show himself what? Friendly. All right, so you have to invest. Mary and Martha had Jesus in their home. Mary and Martha loved on Jesus. Martha worshiped Jesus. Broke that expensive alabaster box, a spikenard box, and wept and prayed and sat at his feet. And so in our life, we're going to invest in people. We're going to have friendships. We're going to be close. Families are going to be close. And Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, the reason I believe that's so important is because when you read verse 6, it says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, if we didn't have verse 5 to know that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, we might be, what's the deal? Jesus heard, and when he hears, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick, he says, I'll be extending my stay for 2 more days. That doesn't seem very caring. Doesn't seem like he's concerned. Now, Jesus told them that this sickness is not unto death. Now, we know Lazarus does die. We know that Lazarus, that Jesus comes and raises him from the dead. And we'll talk more about that here at the end, but I want you to know that in the moment, it didn't seem like Jesus cared. He loves him, but he didn't do anything about it. And in times in our life when we are begging God and seeking God's face and in different things in our life, and we ask God to do something, and he doesn't meet our expectations, sometimes we can get bitter. Sometimes we can get upset. Now, you might say, I just don't have any expectations. Come up real close to me tonight. All of us have expectations. Now, you may not know you have expectations until your expectations are not met. And then all of a sudden, something happens in your heart and you say, I didn't think this was supposed to happen to me. I didn't think someone that loves God or serves God, I didn't think this would be in our life. How would a loving God ever let something like this happen in my life? And sometimes all we can do is shake our head and walk around and say, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know why. And I went to God and we begin to look at, maybe it's something that I did. Maybe there's sin in my life, or maybe decisions I should have made, or maybe this or that. And we question ourselves. We question the circumstances. But eventually, we end up questioning God. And we say, you know, if God is love and God is all powerful and God can do anything, if there's nothing too hard for God, why would he allow this to happen? Why wouldn't he let me have children? Why wouldn't he let my spouse die? Why would he let my child die? Why would he let a baby pass away? Why would God even give me a baby and then take him to heaven? There's a lot of questions that we say, I just don't understand. And we have expectations of God. And when those expectations are not met, we can get down and discouraged, depressed, and even bitter and angry against God and not even make it in our Christian life. And so what in the world are we supposed to do? Well, this text gives us some principles tonight to help us understand about what God's going to do. It's important for us to understand when it comes to our expectations that, number one, we serve God. He doesn't serve us. So when Jesus clearly says, this is not a sickness unto death, but to glorify God, Jesus looked at the situation differently than everybody else was looking at it. Everybody else was looking at it from an earthly human perspective. Lazarus, he's in the prime of his life. He's a young man. He loves God. He's serving God. Why would this tragedy, why would Lazarus have to die? We got to get Jesus here. Jesus is going to raise him up. He's going to heal him. And Jesus is saying there's a purpose behind this that other people are not fully considering. That this death, this sickness is for the glory of God. Now, in the story, Jesus raises Lazarus. But don't leave tonight thinking that's the point of the story. If you leave here tonight saying, you know, preacher said that our expectations, we just trust God, he's going to raise them up. Sometimes God meets our expectations, sometimes God doesn't meet our expectations. And the point tonight, the principle is not, if I have enough faith and I believe God and I live for God and I worship God and I serve God, then God will do anything I want him to do. Because God doesn't serve us. We serve God. Remember the story when Mary, the mother of Jesus, came and said, Jesus in a place, and they're like, she tries to get him to come out. She's kind of, you know, going to tell him what to do. And he says, and they tell him, hey, your mom's outside. And he said, these are my brothers and sisters and my mom. Jesus clearly said, no one tells me what to do. Now, sometimes we don't like that, but the truth of the matter is we don't tell God what to do. He's not a genie in the bottle. He's not, you know, God, I'm going to serve you, and I'm got this barter relationship where if I worship you, I love you, I tithe, I witness, I give my life for you, I put my life on to a mission field, and when it comes time, I'm going to call in some favors. Doesn't work that way. We don't serve God. God doesn't serve us. We serve God. And so we understand the first thing here is understanding that God does things. He orders things the way He wants to order them. He doesn't serve us. We serve Him. And so we have to get this on this expectation. Now, the main principle I want to get to tonight is this, is that when we have expectations to God, and we all have a core set of expectations, when we get frustrated with God or disappointed at God or bitter or anxious or wondering, why would God allow this to happen? What we must understand from this story is that God may not always do what we expect Him to do, but God will always answer according to His love. You can trust God's love. This incident that happens in Mary and Martha's life and in Lazarus' life is going to be the greatest tragedy and the greatest event that ever happened in their life. Lazarus is going to be known as the guy who Jesus raised. Mary and Martha are going to see the power of God, and what they wanted Jesus to do is to make Him better, not die. What Jesus wanted to do is to bring glory to God through the situation, and that happened to be by raising Him from the dead. Sometimes God doesn't do that. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayer, and so that God can still get glory. So He brings tragedy, He brings heartache, He brings trials, He brings loss into our life. And the principle is that God will not always act upon my expectations, but God will always act according to His love. And He loved them. The text is very clear. Jesus loved them, and in His love, He abode still 2 days. And He lets Lazarus die, and He begins to go and perform the miracle that takes place. And God will not always do what we expect, but God will always, always act according to His character and His holiness and His love. Mary and Martha's concern was Lazarus, and rightly so. Jesus' concern was the glory of the Father. Now, sometimes in our life, all we can see is our child, our spouse, what we don't have, what we want. And we don't see God. And God says, you know what? What's loving about this is my me not doing what you want to do, but by me doing what I will do in my love for you. Now, if we're going to grow spiritual, that's a hard step to take. But if you can lay this principle down in your life, no matter what trial, tragedy, situation comes along, and you say, you know what? I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why God would allow this to happen, but I do know God. And I know God is only good. I know God is love. I know He loves me. I invest in God. I invest in Jesus. I pray to Him. I worship Him. I give of my finances. I give of my time. I serve Him. And I love Him. And He loves me. I have a close relationship with Jesus. And so I know He's not going to hurt me. I know I might not understand it. But I know this, my expectation may be on this level, on the human level, what I want God to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. We can have those expectations. God knows our expectations. God knew Mary and Martha what they wanted, but Jesus didn't act upon what Mary and Martha wanted. He acted upon what the Father wanted. And in our life, we have to have this principle laid down in our life that sometimes our expectations are not met because we have to realize who's serving who. And God chooses to do what God wants to do. And when He does something, He does it with an expected purpose in mind. Now, we may not know what that purpose is, and sometimes we make hypotheticals. Well, I know God did this because then this. And I think that can be dangerous at times. But I know this, God's always good. And He's always loving. And I know what He does in my life, He allows because He is God, and He sees things from a different perspective than I see it. And if God trusts us, if we have a special close relationship, and He can trust us with a trial or a tragedy or a difficulty, because He says, you know what? I know they'll be faithful. They'll give glory to God no matter what happens, because they trust in my love. Now, there's some verses in your Bible in the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to have you turn over there, Jeremiah chapter 29. And tomorrow, with the Lord's help, I'm going to try to preach the context of these two verses, Jeremiah 29:11, Jeremiah 33:3. And I want to show you this principle that we're preaching on tonight about the principle of God's love and purpose in our life. And this isn't exclusive just to Jeremiah. You can go to every book in the Bible and find this principle to be true. Look in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now that verse may not mean much to you unless you've sat beside the bedside of a loved person. And you wonder, God, what are you doing? And that verse, we're going to look at the context. We're not just trying to pluck it out. But that verse tells us that I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You don't know what's going on, but I do. And they're thoughts of peace and not of evil. I'm not trying to hurt you. To give you an expected end. I'm talking about expectations tonight. Well, I thought God would do this. I just can't believe. I didn't know. I really believed God was going to heal. I really believed God was going to give me a baby. I really believed this. And I thought and I expected. Listen, God's thoughts are not always our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But His thoughts are better than our thoughts. His ways are better than our ways. And He has an expected end. Now Jeremiah 33:3, quickly and we'll bring things in for a landing. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Now, if you've walked through a dark valley, surely you've read that verse, claimed that verse, and prayed, and said, God, you said to call unto you, and you would answer me, and you'll show me great and mighty things that I don't understand, what I don't know. We're going to look at what the context of that verse is here. But it's in line with this principle that God always acts upon His love. He always does what He's going to do, whether it's through judgment, whether it's through trials, whether it's through tragedy. He always is in control, and He always does it with an expected end. Now, let me put this in perspective tonight as we close. In our life, every one of us in this room, if you've not faced tragedy or trials, and if God allows that to happen in your life sometime in your life, you can get to this point where I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Why would God do this? Well, let me tell you what God has done. God has demonstrated His love for us that He sent His Son to die for us. Without God and without Jesus Christ, every one of us dies and goes to hell. And so before we get mad at God and say, God, I just don't, if I'm serving you and if I serve you and you allow this to happen in my life and trials, well, what's the use of serving me? Listen, serving you, God doesn't serve us, we serve Him. And if God does nothing for us and we have a trial and a tragedy every day in our life, He did this, He sent His only begotten Son to die for me. He doesn't owe me anything. When I lost Christina, I had a couple of preachers say, Pastor Hastings, you'll get mad at God. It's just part of your grief. And I don't say this to try to brag on myself, but I never got mad at God because I didn't think God owed me anything. I didn't grow up going to church. If I did, I went to a wrong kind of church. I did a lot of stuff in my life that I have regrets about. And so really, I felt like God had been better to me than what I deserved. And if we ever get to a point where we think, you know, I just can't believe God. Listen, let's just pull off the royal robes here. We don't deserve anything. God gave us His Son and died for us. That's enough. That's enough. Well, my expectations. Well, let's lower the expectations with God and let's just say God will not meet just our expectations, but He'll always meet His own, which is to act according to love, His love for us. Mary and Martha would have got what they wanted. They would have missed a greater blessing. If man executes his plan, if the disciples were in charge, Jesus would have never went to that cross. Our expectations are not God's expectations. And we have to trust Him. We have to learn to roll that over and trust Him in our life. God gave His Son for us so we could have our sins forgiven, so that if we die, we can go to heaven. And listen, if you're not saved, that's the starting point to have expectations with God. God, You love me enough where You gave Your Son to die for me. And if you're struggling tonight, would you start with God's love for you? Then if you have that settled tonight, say, you know what? I know I'm saved. I know God loves me. I know He cares for me. Listen, God will not always act according to our expectations, but He will always act according to His love. And if you can get a hold of that principle in your life, that this text tells us that He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and yet He abode still 2 days and let Lazarus die. Why? So God could be glorified. Now the way that happened is by resurrection, but sometimes God doesn't do that, and God gets the glory in another way. But God's people have to be able to endure some trials and difficulties and say, you know what? I don't know why. Many of you know Andy Rodriguez, and he just lost his wife, Miss Crystal, and we was up there at the funeral. And I watched as he sat on that front row where my family sat. And I watched his children cry and their dad cry and not be able to do anything about it. And my heart hurt for them. But I also knew God still loved them. And God loved me and walked me through it. I have a beautiful wife tonight. And I don't understand all the whys, but I know the joy of the grace of God walking us through that. Our expectation with God has to be He'll always act according to His love, not according to our expectations. And if you'll lay that principle down in your life, no matter what happens, you can look to God and say, God, I'm not mad. I'm not shaking my fist at You. I'm not questioning Your goodness. I trust Your love. And You have a different perspective than I have. And You know more than I know. And You're always good. You're always just. You're always right. And so, God, I'll just keep being faithful. And you know the question, why? We feel like if we had to answer that, we could just, it would change everything. It would change nothing. If I had why, then I could bear up under anything. If we had the why, then we're going to have another question behind that. May our question not be why, but how. What? God, what do You want me to do with this? How do I supposed to respond? God, You've allowed infertility in my life. God, You've allowed a loss of a loved one. God, You've allowed loneliness to be in my life. What do You want me to do with it to glorify You? I know You only act according to Your love. Let's stand tonight. I'm going to pray, and whether we have an invitation or not, I pray God would help you take this principle in your life and laid us down deep in your heart. And with tomorrow, we're going to try to preach and show this principle that happens over and over and over again in the Bible.